My name's Liz. I'll be chairing the session. So in terms of our guest speaker is Ezra Otieno. Ezra is a central committee member of the Revolutionary Socialist League of Kenya. He is also an executive committee member of the International Socialist League, the ISL, which Socialist Alternative is like an observer to. We've gone to a number of their conferences and had our comrades meet with Ezra in the past. So most people, I'm not sure, some people here might be experts on Kenya, but probably most of us aren't. So this is a real chance for us to ask questions of Ezra, to draw out like, you know, key questions around rebuilding the revolutionary left today. So I really encourage you to think of those questions you want to ask while he's talking. So Ezra will talk for about half an hour or so, and then we'll have time for that discussion. Take it away.
Hello, comrade. I'll try and condense it as much as I can. I know you guys have a lot of questions about Africa. Probably our fault, because we don't write a lot. We don't report a lot what's happening there, especially the revolutionary situations in Kenya, in Africa, really. So as you've heard, my name is Ezra Otieno, and my organization is called the Revolutionary Socialist League in Kenya. I'll start by giving an overview of what's happening in Kenya in terms of revolutionary organizing, and then maybe in a nutshell, other countries in Africa. So the political situation in Kenya right now is just as bad as I have attended sessions before. We have a new regime in Kenya, which came in 2022, August, which is a very neoliberal, pro-Western regime led by President Ruto. The regime of Ruto is very Western, pro-Western, and on global issues like Israel and IMF, they always support the West. There's a very huge issue of Haiti going on right now. I know some of you have heard of it. That the president is sending 1,000 police officers to thwart the protest in Haiti. Yeah. Of course, he's not doing it from the goodness of his heart, or like he's saying that, they need peace. Out of all the countries in the world, you know, they saw that Kenya is the only one who want this money, for the money. And we the people and we the progressives of Kenya reject this proposal by the president. Even the court said police cannot be deployed in other country, but he still ignored these rules and is insisting on taking the police to Haiti. It's a bone of contention, because given the history of Haiti, I don't know if most of us have heard the history of Haiti. It was the first black rebellion in the 1890s, led by Toussaint. So they have been trying to make it hard for the Haitians since that revolution in the 1800s till now. They are paying for their suffering, but that's a story for another day. Another thing that's going on is the rampant inequality in Kenya. This is a very common denominator in all countries, most countries in Africa. Youth unemployment is at an all-time high, because most people go to campus and they don't really find it very hard to find jobs. One of the things that we as the Revolutionary Socialist League organize using that part, because most of our comrades also who have finished campus find it really hard to find jobs. And those who did not go to campus also cannot find jobs, and the jobs that they can find, they really get paid minimally. So these are the points of organizing that we have. Of course, with the inflation everywhere in the world, in Kenya it's around, I think, 7% now. So cost of living is going up. And for most people, actually, here, when I was in the previous talk, they were talking about, you know, wages increasing by 5%, but inflation. So, you know, it's like a wage cut. In Kenya, it's even no wages. So the inflation is inconsequential, because, you know, most people cannot find a job. So it means most people are living from hand to mouth. A majority of the people are living from day to day eating, and they don't know what they're going to eat tomorrow. So one of the bases where we organize is the social justice centers, where most of them come from the informal settlements, which is almost half of Nairobi. These guys usually look for work. It is really hard to organize with them because they are trying to look for something to eat the next day. So even if we have an organizing or an activity, they'll have to choose, you know, their survival over this. Another big impediment that we have in Nairobi is the NGOization of the social movement. It's a very big thing. I wrote a paper about it. I think I'll share with some of you about how the NGOs in Africa are a big impediment to organizing and the revolution. Because, for example, when they go to this informal settlement, when for a meeting like this, after the meeting, they'll give every comrade some money, which is very hard for people like us when we go to meet comrades and talk about, you know, their situation and socialism. It's really hard because they think we are an NGO. After the meeting, they'll ask, "Where's the money?" Yeah, something that we. All in all, these are the consequences of capitalism that we are facing. Kenya is relatively a very young nation because we gained our independence. I'll put independence in quotes because I didn't say we got independence. But the history of Kenya, we were colonized by the British. And in 1963, the British left. But they didn't leave per se because they left the power to black colonialists, people who look like us. The oppression was the same because people were fighting for land because the British took our land. But after independence, the land was not returned to the people, but the land was taken to the elitists, who was the first president, Kenyatta. You know, people were fighting for education. There was no education for the people. People were fighting poverty. The same problems that we're facing now. That's what we call the independence that we got was not really independence, but flag independence. We just got a flag and everything, but fundamentally, the system was still the colonial system that we were facing. So there were Kenya is one of the few countries in Africa who had armed resistance against colonialism. Most countries actually just negotiated their independence. We had guerrilla warfare. I don't know if you heard of Mau Mau. Yeah, Mau Mau fought in the forest and most of them were killed and they lost really because what they were fighting for, they didn't get it. So when they were writing the history, you know, they were writing the history of how Kenyatta, you know, fought for independence, but that's not really true. You know, history also depends on who won. They're the ones who get to write what we know and what we listen to. So the system of neocolonialism is the one that has been leading us since independence to this date. The successive regimes of President Moi after Kenyatta in 1963 to 78, Moi from 78 to 2002 is where neoliberalism started kicking in Kenya. From Kibaki in 2002 to 2013, the son of the first president became president from 2013 to 2022, and now Ruto. I think the same problem fundamentally as the things that people were talking about in independence, overtaxation, lack of basic needs, housing, education, hospital is a elitist thing for most of us. So those are the problems that we organize with. And it's a very big challenge for socialists in Africa because we don't have a history of organizing. The starting point for socialists in Africa is colonialism. This is where we first found the basis of resistance. And I think for now, we as comrades in Kenya, this is where we start because we understand that this is a global thing. This is a capitalistic thing because most countries face the same problems. If you comrades here who are members of the university, if you meet any African comrades, I know there are a lot here. You ask them this. The same problems are fundamentally the same in every country in Africa, every 54 countries in Africa. So we are organized based on this. We are a workers organization that basically focuses on a revolution. Of course, we are a revolutionary organization basing our teachings in Marxism. We are also a Pan-Africanist organization, and I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. Do you know what Pan-Africanism is? Yeah. The coming together of all Africans all over the world. But because of the political differences and the political alliances all over the world, we have different types of Pan-Africanism. We don't have just one we unite under Pan-Africanism, but under which system of Pan-Africanism? So from my analysis, we have analyzed three types of Pan-Africanism that I've encountered in my organizing. One was the Federalist Pan-Africanist, who want Africa to unite under 54 states, the countries in Africa to unite under capitalism, but under just like the US is. So we also have Black Nationalist Pan-Africanists, who want people to organize as Black people. And then we have the third type of the Revolutionary Pan-Africanist. We mainly are Revolutionary Pan-Africanists because we believe that Africans should unite under the banner of socialism. One Africa under socialism with one flag, one no borders, one army, and workers' state. All African people's revolutionary army. So that's just an idea that we have. So we believe that this is the only way to push Africa to the next state, to the next stage, because most of us have heard about this Black nationalist organizations. For example, in South Africa, they have a very, very comprehensive history of apartheid, and the ANC was fairly progressive. Can't say the socialist per se, but we are sprouting up of these organizations like the EFF of Malema. They're very, very strong and energetic, but their fundamental teaching is organizing with the black race. We believe that this is erroneous in our analysis because capitalism is not a race thing. Capitalism affects all the workers of the world. The same problems that I've had the workers of Sydney talk about, the workers of Melbourne, is the same fundamentally problems that people face in Nairobi, with slight differences because Kenya is fairly an agrarian state. So we have a huge population of Kenyans in the rural areas who, farm subsistently their crops. But in the highlands, we have big, big coffee farms and tea farms controlled by multinational organizations. For example, in Kericho, in Kenya, you'll find huge tea farms controlled by multinational companies like Unilever and stuff. So our basis of organizing is revolutionary Pan-Africanism, socialist workers' state, and we are also an internationalist organization. That's why after extensive consultation, we decided to join the International Socialist League, which I think has very much, we conquer on almost everything. And comrades like Cesar here, we've engaged a lot in the past few years. So, imperialism in Africa is one of the biggest impediments to our growth. And we talk about, we organize against imperialism because a neo-colonial state is a state that is not, in the hands of the people of the state. Kenya is one of the few countries that, not few, one of the countries that is controlled from outside. Most of the companies that control Kenya are controlled from the outside. And it's not even in Kenya alone, it's most countries. The beer is made by a British company. The US is really controlling most of it and the British, but there is the coming in of the Chinese also, who want to build these big corporations and giving, unattainable loans. These are the things that we're struggling with. And it's not only in Kenya, we have the neighboring countries like Uganda and Somalia, who have almost the same issues. South Sudan, Tanzania, Congo. A country like the Congo is very important because it's one of the richest countries in the world, actually, when it comes to mineral deposits. But it's constantly kept at war because each imperialist state wants a spoil of they want a spoil of this coltan, you know, one of the rare minerals that are not found anywhere. So the common Congolese citizen does not get the benefits of this mineral. So we as the people of Africa want to organize and tell our people that, you know, these things can change with organizing the workers from the lower state and building a socialist organization. It is very hard to build it because, one, we do not have mentors, and mentors and people who came before us. We only have liberation heroes. And in Kenya, for example, we had a dictator in the 90s, and people fought him, called Moi. And what Moi did was he imprisoned people. And these are the guys we look up to, but they were not necessarily socialist. So one of the challenges we face is, like, we do not have socialist mentors to talk to us about these things. So we in Africa, for example, in Somalia, Kenya is also being used, just as it's being used in Haiti. The same thing they are doing in Somalia. They are being told by the U.S. government to go to Somalia and invade Somalia because there's a terrorist organization called Al-Shabaab. So this is where Kenya is being taken to, you know, keep, they call it peacekeeping mission. They also do it in Congo, with but there's a very organized group called the M23 over there, which it's, you know, the morphing of a puppet state. They want to be the ones, Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria, and to some extent Egypt. These are the focal point of capitalism stooges in Africa. So what can we do as Africans? What's the way forward for the young people? Because Africa, one of the advantages that we have is we are fairly young. Continent. For example, in Kenya, the median age of the people, the median age is 19. So yeah, it's an advantage because young people can grow with new ideologies and shade away the old ideologies, because neocolonialism is very much entrenched to the people, such that they don't see the common problem. They are used to the suffering, for example. Yeah, that's why tribal politics are take center stage in Kenya. The true ruling, one of the national questions in Kenya that we face is tribalism. We have to overcome that so that people can understand class struggle to its core. Yeah, we still fight this is not the only challenges we face in Africa. Other than imperialism, we face oppression when it comes to women and LGBTQ issues. We have one writer called Frantz Fanon talked about cultural revolution. And in Africa, this is needed a lot because one of the main reasons the LGBTQ community is still very much repressed in Africa. You heard about what Uganda passed last year, the bill to repress. It's not that it's the government which did it. It's very popular. Truth is, it's very popular amongst the people because, people still very much entrenched in their culture, and the culture believes that people cannot be gay. So these are the things that people in Africa are still fighting for. Women also, we still come from a very patriarchal society in Kenya and largely in Africa. So if you go to Ghana, we still have, you know, women being married off at a young age. Some communities are still practicing female genital mutilation. So these are the challenges that Africa face. But we need, socialist solutions to this problem because the politics are changing, for example. Neocolonial France is almost getting kicked out because for the past 5 years we've had a range of coups in West Africa. And if you read about the CFF rank and how French imperialism has really done to the people of West Africa, it's like they want to control every sector of an independent state. That's why I was saying independence in quotes. there's no real independence that we got. So French countries are now revolting, mainly because of the coups that are happening. But we have to be critical of these coups, because who are taking over? Yeah. Do the workers take over this state? No. Because we cannot be just happy because, yeah, some people have taken over and they have kicked out the French, but they are coming over with the... They are looking east. They are looking to other countries. You know, they are kicking out the US and French, but they now want to go to China and Russia. And these guys are not even socialists in a way. They're just people who, you know, think they can bring change. It is the things... sessions like this that call for workers of Africa to unite at this crucial time. So that we can be able to unite the workers, because we are very disenfranchised compared to other continents when it comes to socialist ideologies. We come from an age of, we can start somewhere, for example, we can organize, with the unemployment issue, or people in Niger, Guinea, Mali, the countries that have had a coup in the past, we can organize based on, you know, French imperialism and kick them out. This is a good starting point. All in all, it's an important thing that is happening in Africa right now, because people are starting to wake up and see, you know, our problems are not because we are lazy. Our problems are not because we are black, but our problems come from these colonialists that were here because of us. So I just want to end it there, so that I know most of you are looking curiously and have questions. So I'll take the questions slowly by slowly. Thank you.